Now, before we get into the message today, a little follow-up on money matters that we covered last time. Now, this is from the Safe Money Report. Now, remember the last time we discussed it, those who are in the money business say, sell on Rosh Hashanah, which is trumpets, buy after Yom Kippur. Okay. So what happened? Just right on trumpets, the market went down, 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 down. Okay. After atonement, and now it's going up, 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 up. And the thing to always realize is this: all the money people make money with it going down. Because when people lose money, someone gets that money, and they make money going up, and people always tend to buy at the top of the market. So they know this. All right. Now here's what's happening in the world, which is quite a phenomenal thing, which will probably delay the demise of the dollar for a considerable length of time. And this is entitled Global Money Tsunami. It's one of the most iconic things in the history of the Watergate scandal. A parking garage in greater Washington, D.C. area, an eager reporter, Bob Woodward, looking for the scoop of his lifetime, a shadowy figure codenamed Deep Throat, hovering in the dark. Then from his mouth came three words that will below be the entire scandal wide open. It blew it open. He said, follow the money. So here's what's happening. Never before has that lesson from history been more applicable to investors as it is today either. Why? Central banks, now the central banks are the G20. And in almost all of these reports that we get, only one book had something to say about the coming mark of the beast in digital money. And that was The Death of the Dollar that I gave sermons on years ago. Central banks around the world have unleashed a money flood of epic proportions. Now, what happened to the stock market yesterday? Reached a record high. Why? Because of this right here. And unleashed it into the capital markets. And now, with the world order as we knew it coming unglued, that capital is fleeing danger and seeking opportunity at an unprecedented pace. It is looking for this highest quality, highest yielding, most reliable assets. I call it, and the author here is Mike Larson, the global money tsunami, and it's impacting nearly every financial market. Now, all the central banks have been printing money, not only just the United States. And they have been buying treasury bonds, and the government has been buying treasury bonds and keeping them. Now then, with all the unrest in the world, especially with the war in the Middle East, and that's growing worse and worse because 15,000 foreign fighters from 80 countries have come to Syria and Iraq to fight with ISIS. Now, this is disturbing everything, plus the sanctions against Russia are working. The Russian stock market is down, the ruble is down, and the Russian oligarchs. Now, who are the oligarchs? The oligarchs are the elite money people in Russia. Now, they're trying to protect their money. So if they have it in the stock market in Russia, they're losing money. If they have it in rubles, they're losing money. And also, isn't it interesting that the price of oil has gone down, 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 down. And what is the greatest source of income for Russia? Oil and natural gas. Okay? So you have to connect the dots with all of these things. The best way, possibly the only sensible way to survive and thrive, is to get it in from those money flows. Because, as we recently wrote, when investors are frightened, they move their money, and the scarier it gets, the faster the money moves. Now, we're not talking about small amounts of money. We are talking about trillions of dollars. And just in 5 years, 10 more trillions of dollars has entered into the United States capital markets. Okay? It isn't a trickle, it is a deluge. I'm not talking just about average mom-and-pop investors making these moves in a selective handful of foreign markets, the kind of investors that can send money abroad by walking into a Western Union office in Dubai or Moscow. Nor am I referring strictly to the wealthy family in regions now torn and threatened by war. I'm talking about massive sovereign wealth funds, pension funds, institutional investors who manage trillions in euros, yen, pounds, dinars, and rubles. Then it talks about how the Norwegian government has a pension fund of $895 billion that they have moved into America. Abu Dhabi Authority has moved in $773 billion. Saudi Arabia has moved in $738 billion in assets. While China, with the three largest sovereign funds, beat them all with a combined $1.5 trillion. And what this shows is that all of the hoopla of how strong China is and how strong the BRIC nations are, you know what the BRIC nations are, don't you? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South America. Okay? Even China is in such a weakened position that it has moved funds into America. And it goes into the stock market. It goes into buying property. Let me just give you an example here. When the Chinese were doing really well, remember when, not the Chinese, the Japanese, when the Japanese were doing really well, and they were prodigious savers, but they had one thing they couldn't do. They could not invest overseas. So the money elite in America persuaded them to go ahead and pass a law in Japan so that investors could invest overseas. And guess where it came? It came here. And a lot of money came because they had at that time, I think that was about 14 years ago, they had pretty close to $1 trillion in saving reserves. Well, one transaction that Rockefellers did, which was really interesting, they sold Rockefeller Plaza to the Japanese at a record price. Later, they bought it back when the yen fell. See? So there's more going on than just money coming in. I believe it is a plan to bring as much money in as possible before they bring about a collapse. Let them invest in buildings. Let them invest in factories. Let them invest in T-bills. Let them invest in pension funds and all of this, and then bring about a worldwide collapse, and you don't have to pay back anything because it's all invested and the value of the investment goes and disappears. Remember where I started out the information on the money? That it flies to heaven. And that's what's going to happen. So when it comes, instead of having the money overseas in these different banks and so forth, the circumstances have been created, and you wonder why they're doing nothing about the things in the Middle East because they are wanting precisely to happen what is happening, so therefore they can cause them to lose their money, and they, the money handlers, lose nothing. So this is big-time stuff that's going on. There's a massive pool of privately managed money, $52.3 trillion in assets globally, managed by the top 500 groups. So just 500 major groups control all of that money. So they're moving it in here. Even central banks jumping into the global money tsunami, seeking to manipulate and profit from the equity markets, once a major taboo. One example, the Swiss National Bank invests about 16% of its $491 billion portfolio in foreign stocks. Now, how much is it coming? Trillions of dollars. Upwards to $61 trillion. Give you an example of what is happening here. It's not just stocks. Foreign money is also pouring into luxury real estate, other high-priced assets, penthouses and condominiums in the concrete canyons of Manhattan, waterfront homes and condos in sun-drenched Florida, and more. Russian fertilizer baron Dmitry Rybolov Lev shelled out $88 million for 15 Central Park penthouses. Roy Asante told me that there was a Chinese investor that came down to Australia, and he had so much money he wanted to get it out of China before China collapsed. So he went down to Australia, and he paid like about five times what the value of it was in cash. And a lot of the real estate market is Asian buyers buying cash, high-priced stuff, okay? Composer Igor Rutoy dropped $48 million for a Plaza Hotel condo. Now, they also sold the Waldorf Astor, Waldorf's, what is that? The Waldorf Astoria Hotel. And it's all run down. They sold it for over $2 billion because there's so much money out there, see? This is also reflective of the inflation by printing. Pretty soon there's so much money that the value drops down, so you want to buy something that is real. But it, with the real estate and things, they're paying three or four or five times more than it is actually worth. But even if it drops down, they still have the asset. But the problem is, if they are using money from wealth funds, pension funds, all of that, then who is going to pay for the loss of money when it comes due? All those who are the pensioners. Amazing. Quite a thing. Now, one other thing to note. When the sanctions first went on with the Russians, and those sanctions are really, really working now, they said, phooey, we'll do without the American dollar. Well, what happened? The price of oil and gas has gone down. The ruble has gone down. The Russian stock market has gone down. So what is the Russian response? And the news people can't figure it out. They're flying their planes just outside the borders of the of Europe and just outside the borders of Alaska. So Putin is really kind of in bad shape with it, okay? But here's what's happening because of it. The value of the dollar is rising. The euro has dropped from 140 to 126, that means if you want to buy a euro, you now pay U.S. dollars 126. The Japanese yen has just about collapsed. Japan is just about ready to be one of the first countries to go under. but with central bankers in Japan, China, Korea, and Europe firing up their money printing presses, and with more scared money heading this way, the Fed has had the room to cut back its own money printing without making a dent in the U.S. market or economy. Now, the five powers that are going to bring in, remember I brought out about the special drawing rights, the SDRs? Okay. Federal Reserve, the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the London Central Bank, and BIS, that's in Switzerland, and that is the Bank of International Settlement. Those five control the whole world money system. Doesn't matter what country it's in. They controlled it. Remember when Nixon went to China? Who did he take with him? Or who took Nixon to China? Remember? Henry Kissinger. And he helped set up the Chinese banks with the House of Rothschild, giving them all the instructions on how to do it. So you see, the tentacles go everywhere. All right. So we won't cover any more on that, but there's going to be much more money flowing in. Now that answers the question, why don't they do something about ISIS? Because they want to generate more fear so more money will come into the U.S. So that if they invest, then they turn in their T-bills to invest. And when the market collapses, they lose the money, and the federal government, or the Federal Reserve, rather, which is not the federal government, the Federal Reserve does not have to buy them back at any price. If there are still some out there when the collapse comes, then they can just take, they'll just say, okay, you have $100 million worth, we'll buy it for $300 million. So that's how they're going to evaporate a lot of the debt. Remember what we saw on that video about how all money you deposit in the bank, the money becomes the bank's funds because you were giving them an IOU, Federal Reserve Note, or a digital form of money. And none of us have real money. If you write a check and you go over what your balance is, they send you a notice, and it doesn't say, sorry to tell you, you've run out of money. What do they send you? They send you a notice that your check is bounced because of what? Insufficient funds. So that's why I've said for years, get out of debt. Okay. Yes, if you have gold and silver, keep it. But you may be able to buy something you can eat with it.
Okay.
Well, they expect, as I mentioned last time, they expect to drive down gold to about $800 before they let the collapse come. Now, why do that? Okay. I already turned it off on the video, so I won't put this on there. I'll bring it up again later on. Why do that? Because people, when they see the price go down, what do? They sell. I've got to get something back on it. But you're falling right into their trap. Because if they let it come down to 800, they're going to bring it up to, remember what he said in that book, the way that you established a gold-backed currency based on the SDRs? You raised the price to what? $9,000 an ounce. See? So, remember what Satan told Jesus. Showed him all the nations of the world, all the glory of them, all the power of them. says, if you'll bow down and worship me, all shall be yours. So that tells you who is in direct contact with Satan the devil. That's why we look for the kingdom of God to come. All right, I have that recorded on the audio, so that's okay.